Blog Talk Radio.
ACMI Radio.
While we have to pay the price for the rich man's paradise, while we have to pay the price at the minimum wage, if you want to turn the right.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for joining Finding Your Truth with HMI Radio. I'm intuitive spiritualist Tori C., and that tune you just heard was from a good friend of mine. That's his artist by the name of IJ Chris. The track is called Rich Man's Paradise. And for more information on that track, you can visit hmiradio.info. Also, in case you're wondering about my former co-host, Nana Bikon, she won't be joining us today. And I do apologize for not mentioning that on the last show, but Nana is spending time focusing on her I Ching workshop that she has coming up this June. So not sure how long she may extend that workshop, but we hold her in love and light and hope she'll return to HMI Radio soon. Also, to find out more about Nana's I Ching workshop, you can go to hmiradio.info. Go to the tune-in tab and click her photo for more information. Today, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I would like to introduce my guest, Astral Boo Baby, also known as ABB. Now, ABB, to me, is a YouTube icon that has shared in-depth information on various subjects regarding spirituality and the occult. ABB, I want to thank you for joining HMI Radio today. It is certainly my honor and pleasure to finally speak with you. I've watched your YouTube channel for a while now and found that we have a whole lot of similarities. But before I go off into my excitement, I just want to first ask for the audience and for myself, how did you come up with the name Astral Boo Baby?
Okay. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Tori, and you are very welcome. Thank you for inviting me to share pieces of me with you and your audience.
How
did I come up with the name Astral Boo Baby? Well, when I decided that it was time for me to publicly share my personal experiences regarding the nature of reality and my talents and gifts, I wanted a pseudonym and a channel that would truly represent the multidimensional layers of myself. And so what I decided to do, since astral projection was the foundation to which I would be speaking upon, I took the astral and then I decided to give it a little bit of something more along humor, yet the terms of endearment, boo-boo. I was given the nickname boo-boo by my godmother, who used to tease me when I was a little boy. They would tell me that I looked like Yogi the Bear's sidekick, boo-boo. So I added that layer to it because there's an aspect of me that is humorous, and there's also an aspect of me that truly cherished those moments as a child coming up, because those experiences that I had as a child would be paramount to the overall presentation within the channel. And I gave myself the name Baby. It's kind of like a way of humbling myself or keeping myself humble, in that I recognize that even with everything that I've experienced, gone through, and have seen with my physical and mind's eye, I am still a baby in the bigger picture. So it's very humbling. So there you have it, Astral Boo Baby. It just stuck. And I ultimately went with ABB because I felt like it was time for me to step up in a different kind of expression, a more mature expression, if you will. And don't be surprised, I may come along, you know, and change my name again, because that's the way I do. I like to give myself a pseudonym or name that best describe where I am with each respective chapter or each respective projection or state of self-determination. So ADD, a.k.a. Astral Blue Baby, is what it is at this time, and it really resonates with me, and I am so pleased that it has resonated with so many people around the world.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to say ABB because it's just easier for me to say that.
Okay.
Well, just would you mind sharing with the audience who you are and what your talents, what you possess as far as your talents and your gifts?
Okay. I, the first part of what you stated, I didn't hear, didn't come through, but I'm taking it that you're asking about my talents and my gifts. What is it that I'm bringing or sharing with the channel? Was that the question? Okay.
Yes, it was.
Well, I bring forth my heightened level of sensitivity, high levels of intuition. I bring forth my innate ability to communicate with words, music, dance, art, poetry. I bring forth my theatrical background. And most importantly, I bring forth information and revelations that I have within me and have brought forth and will continue to bring forth as a messenger, as a blogger, as a person who is truly connected with all of those who are in and around me, meaning our ancestors, the people here on Earth, interdimensional beings who may not have a familiar or human expression. So I consider myself a multimedia, multidimensional expressionist of infinite potential and higher level information and awareness, if that makes sense. It's all about communication when it's all said and done. Dance is a form of communication. Art is a form of communication. Genuine self-expression is a form of communication, especially when it is flowing organically. And even though there are people who may not necessarily get what I'm doing right off the cuff, I guarantee that if they give it time and allow the flow to flow with them as it should, they will get it. They will get it. They will just know. They may not necessarily get it mentally or logically. They may get it just as a feeling. And this is what it's all about for me, being a catalyst when it's all said and done and helping more of us to expand our mind and our perception to receiving communication and information from infinite perspectives and infinite points of view and infinite modes of expression.
Yes, I definitely feel that. Well, I want to ask, how did you come into your sixth sense, or ESP, as some may say?
You know, that's a very interesting question. It is really something that has always been. It's not something that I had to study or read up on. Now, what I did do, I went through a phase in my life where I had this level of awareness and knowing without anyone to bounce it off of or without anyone to help give me clarity and guidance. I came up in a more of a religious environment in the inner cities of Washington, D.C. So as you would imagine, or as you could imagine, the environment was very structured. The expectations were very defined, very rigid, very refined. So being someone who had a level of perception, extrasensory perception, like just knowing things that I wasn't taught or things that I wasn't exposed to, it was a very lonely path. So at the same time, I embraced it, but I didn't outwardly express it. I would always have these internal dialogues. So what had happened as I got older, I had begun doing my own research, looking for other people, searching out material from other people who have extrasensory perception who are standing in their truth and bringing information to the world. And I would compare it to myself, and I would go to websites and forums and discussion blogs, which is one of the reasons why I decided to kind of take on the mantle and create my own format for others who may not have a place where they can go to and own or develop their extrasensory perception, or to even just talk about it or express it. I created AstroBooBaby.net for the same reasons that I did not have coming up. So it is a place where people can go and communicate and commune with one another and share experiences and get information and advice and build upon that. So for me, that's what I did. The internet, when the information had become more available to me, I had begun using the internet to build upon what was already there, to understand more of what was already here. I was born with a veil over my face, by the way. And for those of you guys who do not know what that is, it's basically babies who are born with a thin membrane covering either their entire head or their face. And what I've learned about that is that is there to lessen the blow to the psyche or the consciousness when we are born into dense matter. We leave from a realm of fluidity and oneness into dense energies, which this reality constitutes. And when we come in, the veil, or what they call the call, serves somewhat as a buffer, and it kind of lessens the impact of amnesia. That is what happens when we project a conscious bubble into this reality. So what I'm ultimately saying is that I came in with that connection already in place, maybe not at 100%. I'm still growing in it, by the way, but I definitely had it more than usual, more than average. So, again, today is still about learning from my experiencing, doing comparative research and observation with other people, and building upon that and continuing to learn and keeping an open mind.
Uh-huh. Ashe. Well, before we go any further, I do want to mention if we have any callers that would like to call in to speak with Astro Boo Baby, you can give us a call here at 607-203-5489. And I believe it's just you need to press 1 to speak with the guest. So just make sure you follow the prompts. Astro Boo Baby, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I know we had some technical glitches there where you were going in and out, so I do apologize to the audience. But to move a little bit further, now I know you stated that you always knew about your sixth sense being there. So is it fair to ask, did you have any resistance to what you were spiritually designed to be? I knew my intuitive sense was always there. I just had gotten to a point in my life where I kind of wanted to shut it out, simply because others around me made me feel so unnormal.
Yeah.
So I wanted to turn it off. And by me doing that, I went through some painstaking events in my life to say, hey, no. You can't separate here.
right. Absolutely.
Did you ever go to any of that?
Yes, I absolutely relate to what you experienced. But I experienced it in the reverse. I embraced and was willing to even share what I had, but I was at the same time getting signals that people weren't receptive to it. So I would try to buy people and to come in and to receive what I had, because I knew that they weren't ready or they weren't receptive. And so naturally, when you have a way of expressing yourself and a way of seeing the world that is different, you're going to vibrate differently. So people are going to know you're different without you having to say anything. So that was me. So I had situations where no one wanted to be my friend. I actually wrote a song about that. I put that in one of my songs. I faced so much rejection because of false perception. You know, no one wanted to be my friend because they couldn't relate to me. They knew there was something unusual without me saying a word. There was something, and I don't mean unusual as in negative or bad. It's just that, again, I grew up in an environment where things were very rigid. The expectations were clearly defined, and whenever anyone walked outside of that or expressed outside or beyond that, you would automatically sort of make yourself a black sheep, whether you want to or not, you know? So it was very, very lonely. I spent a greater part of my earlier years being very sad and depressed and, again, desperate to buy people, to make treats, to get people to like me, you know? And, of course, we know that does not work when it's all said and done. But no matter what, I continue to express myself authentically. As I got older, I became more and more empowered and encouraged and developed courage to simply be. And when I felt that people were receptive or there was a window there to open up and express my unique perspective and my unique makeup, I did it. I didn't care if I got to a place where I didn't care about people not liking it or not understanding it because, again, I'm looking like, okay, you guys feel comfortable expressing what is innate and natural and beautiful and wonderful to you.
Right.
I am here, and I have that same right, and so that's what I'm going to do, whether you like it or not. And so I just continue owning that and growing into that, and this is what I am today.
And I've learned through my journeys that it's so much freedom behind just being who you are.
Right. Absolutely. It's one of the bigger things in my, what I call my unique brand of ministry, being who you are. You know, the majority of the problems in the world is a byproduct of billions of people walking around denying their authentic expression, denying their purpose, denying their right to simply be. They are taking on a persona and adopting constructs and running programs that is not authentic to themselves. And so naturally that creates a blockage, be it psychically, mentally, electromagnetically. And then so what happens when there are those blockages in place and taking place in this regard is that we make ourselves far more easier to be prey to these interdimensional forces who look to feed off of imbalances and chaos and deception and dark secrets and lies and so on and so forth. So no one understands the importance of genuine self-expression more than me. I've observed this thing inside and out, and there's absolutely no doubt in my mind a huge portion of our chaos and unhappiness and the brokenness in the world is directly connected to that.
Yes, yes, definitely. Well, I know we have some audience members that may not be familiar with spirituality. Some shy away from just the mention of the word occult. And I just want, just for this moment, if you could explain to the audience what the term spirituality and the occult means, and what are the differences, if there's any.
Okay. Well, spirituality, I kind of touched on it in the beginning when I talked about being open to infinite possibilities, modes of expression. And that's not to say to just simply accept. It is simply allowing ourselves to be a part of all that is possible, all that is, be a part of it, meaning even if we don't truly resonate with an aspect of all there is, we could find something in there that we could at least align ourselves with in a way where we could at least respect that expression to be what it is, where we don't feel a need to destroy or outright disconnect from it. I always say that much of our spiritual growth really will come, or really would come, from simply respecting and understanding someone who is bringing a unique or different perspective, understanding what that person's expression is all about, try to understand and read and be open to what that person's or that expression backstory is, understand that being, and they will find that they can 99.9% of the time see an aspect or layer of themselves in that being, or they will relate to an aspect or layer of that expression or being or possibility or potential, because they truly are, we truly are, aspects, compartmentalized aspects or reflections or expression of the whole. So being a spiritualist, and from my perspective, is simply acknowledging that and being open to that and learning from as many expressions, possibilities as possible. Now, the occult simply means all that is hidden or what is hidden. And, of course, we know that people can use hidden knowledge information for negative and positive. The knowledge and the mode of expression or the energy isn't negative or positive. What makes it negative or positive is how it is understood, how it is applied, how it is projected in the ethers. So spirituality and occultism can and do go hand in hand, because, again, when one is not open to all there is, all the infinite potential, they are basically cutting themselves off or denying themselves from perceiving or possibly conceiving what is hidden. And that very thing that is hidden could very well be what they need in order to become more in alignment with the all or all there is, or to get to that next level of understanding, or to truly grasp what they are, who they are, and the greater power of self. So the two are interconnected. You really can't separate the two. What I've found since I've been doing this work, it's unfortunately thanks to organized religion, the dogmatic aspects of organized religion, many people hear the word occult and they immediately attribute it to demons and dark forces. Or if, for instance, someone like myself come forth and talk about astral projection, which is an inherent natural part of who we are as spiritual beings having a human experience, for me to come forth and share this information and then have people automatically classify me as something evil or working for demons, which I have been accused of, you know, this is a fine example of one who is automatically cutting themselves off and denying natural reflections, beautiful reflections of themselves. They just don't know it because they have not allowed themselves to look at what has been hidden from them. Much of what I share and bring forth has been hidden, and still to this very day, there are forces still working overtime through covert and overt means to keep people such as myself from getting a larger platform to talk about these things. And so one would have to wonder, what is it? Why is it that this guy who is not negative, a guy who just wants to help and make the world a better place, why is this guy being met with such fierce opposition, and why are there so many tactics in place to keep this guy from getting broader exposure in the world? What is it that he's saying that those who hide much of what I know that we all need to know, we all at least need to be open to, that I know is being hidden, purposely hidden, but yet I'm being brave enough and courageous enough and caring and loving enough to allow myself to be used as a vessel to help get this information out to everyone or anyone who's receptive to it? We have to ask ourselves, why is that? what is it really? Is it because this person, there are forces who care so much about humanity that they don't want this one guy possibly corrupting the consciousness of the humanity, or is it really the opposite? So again, I'm coming back to occultism, speaking on it from a dual perspective. I bring forth information regarding the spiritual realms and occultism from a place of genuine love, a honest, sincere desire to see my brothers and sisters free. And the only way that can happen is by us truly being open to information that is present, that is readily available on the internet, and be willing to do our due diligence and seek out that information that those who are oppressing and manipulating and deceiving society as a whole take it upon ourselves to search and research as to why that is so. Why is it so important for certain forces to keep us in the dark or in the realm of an unknowing? We have to ask ourselves that. So again,
I appreciate
my videos
you,
to spark inner dialogue, to get people to have that inner dialogue and to ask themselves the questions along those lines. And then when they sit still and they ask from the heart, they will get a clear answer. But are they going to listen to that clear answer, or are they going to continue running those fear-mongering and those dogmatic programs that were put in place to keep them from conceiving or possibly receiving information from a spiritual level or from an occultic level without thinking it's automatically something of the devil or something evil?
I certainly appreciate you clarifying that information. As you were speaking, I felt my chakras just open up and start singing. So I know if I felt that, the audience felt that as well. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, during HMI's previous episodes with my co-host Nana Bakan, we spoke about channeling and the many benefits and downsides of taking on other spirits. In your YouTube video, The God Conspiracy, you talked about the many voices of God and how many may interpret such information given from that source. If you can, please explain how interdimensional beings communicate with beings on the realm of humanism. You know, some of us say we heard God talk to us last night, or we heard God say do such and such, and that sometimes can turn out to be something that works against your higher self.
That's right.
Explain all of that to us.
Well, I must first say that I don't know, some of your listeners may be familiar with the basic premise to which I explained the nature of reality, but I can't answer that question without briefly touching on that. And I need everyone to truly grasp this, okay? There really is no true solidity. As fixed and as real as the world that we see around us appears to be, it is an illusion. The experiences that we gain from this so-called fixed or real reality are real, but the solidity is there to basically help us to challenge ourselves to maximize ourselves in a realm of extreme limitation, meaning, say, for instance, when we go to sleep at night, we're in a more fluid state of consciousness, and we're able to do things in the dream state, or I should say in the astral or ethereal states. Each state is more and more fluid and is not as restricted as this realm. This realm is extremely dense, meaning it's like ice. If you were to take a glass of ice and you know, it's fluid and it's more fluid in its natural state, but if we were to take a glass of ice and put it in a freezer, you know, if it's in there long enough, the molecules of that water would slow down to such a point it gives us that solid, hard, thick form. this realm is the same way. This is a dense vibratory realm of particles, protons, neutrons, energy, you know, all the basic stuff, vibrating at a very, very compressed, dense level. So having said that, this reality is just as it is, represents a vibratory frequency. Everything has a vibratory frequency. We are able to interact with this dense realm because we are matching that frequency. But they are layers to us that is vibrating on different frequencies. And those layers, if we shift our consciousness to those respective layers, would appear just as thick, just as solid as what we see in this reality. Even more so, like the further we move up, the faster the vibratory realms and the more fluid we become, we realize that it's kind of like the difference between a regular TV and high definition TV. But it's all just frequency and energies and waveform vibrating on different frequencies. Now, having said that as a premise, there are, just as there are organisms that we can't see with the naked eye and viruses all around us, there are interdimensional beings that are operating on frequencies slightly outside of the light spectrum that we are operating on. These beings are not as restricted as we are in our physical state. And these beings, and I'm particularly talking about those who are whose job it is to block us or frighten us or to deceive us from finding self. Okay, These beings are very, very attracted to those of us who give off the kind of energy and wavelength that is easiest for them to access. So let's say, for instance, if we are someone who is always scanning and, you know, have absolutely no empathy and is in a great position of influence, someone like this will be very attractive to these lower dimensional entities who have the ability, if they want to move in between this realm and the realm that they're on, but they can't hold their energy here but for so long. They look for vessels to carry out events and situations that could generate more of energy, more of the kind of energy that these entities need for their sustenance and to grow upon. So if someone has a malicious and dark heart, they are in a dense state. Their auric field would be very dark and cracked and broken. A being who would like to use that being may well attach themselves to that person's auric field. That's one way they can influence us. They may project themselves into that person's dream state. Contrary to popular belief, and scientists are now proving this to be a fact, and I've been talking about this in my videos over the years, and again, I've learned this through my own personal experience. This isn't stuff I read in the book. This is how I can talk about it from many different angles. They're bringing forth the truth that our dreams are not random signals firing off in the brain, and you know what we've been taught what dreams are, these random signals firing off in the brain. No, when we're in a dream state, we are either creating that dream state in an alternate bubble of reality adjacent to this one with our own consciousness, or we are merging our consciousness with other beings and creating a dream state, or we are astral on the astral realm, astral projecting and not knowing or understanding that's what it is, or we are in the spirit realm, and many of us are doing all of the above simultaneously. But we just don't have the level of consciousness and development to decode it from a dense linear perspective, which our anchor physical body at this time is mostly equipped to do. So these beings, they interact, they can influence us psychically if we are giving off an energy stream that is in alignment with where they are, which would make them perceivable from their perspective. This is how and why people say, well, if all this is going on, why can't I see it? Why can't we all see it? If there are really all these worlds and all this going on, why can't I see it? The reason why you can't see it is because you don't have the coordinates, and your awareness isn't on a frequency or hadn't expanded to a level where you're able to decode frequencies or beings, you know, who are vibrating on a different frequency. It's kind of like a radio station. You know, if we were to get one of those old radio stations that was very limited in the frequencies that it could pick up, that radio station will not get, you know, those frequencies that are readily available to these more advanced conduits that can access those greater frequencies, those greater realities. So we're talking about the same thing, but just from a mind consciousness, a mind awareness perspective. Our mind is the decoder of these different frequencies. And, of course, the more we expand our mind, the more frequencies, the more realities we're able to decode and see around us. But again, because we are in a reality where so much is being done to keep us stuck down, focused, and filtering from this one frequency, when someone such as myself who goes in between these worlds and realities have been doing it all their lives, and I come forth and I say, hey, guys, this is what we can do. This is real. This is what is possible. They'll look at me like I'm out of my mind. Or if someone comes forth and does a hideous, heinous crime and is so outside their character, and they say, well, they heard a voice telling them, they heard God telling them to hack somebody to death, and, you know, the average person right away will say, oh, they're crazy, they're delusional. No, they don't. These people do not understand the nature of reality and how vast it is, and how they're very clever beings who know how all this works, who target certain beings, certain individuals, because that's how they work. The negative side, they use the occult in a dark, secretive way. They do it in a way so that it doesn't really chip off the masses, so that we could possibly start going, wait a minute. There's more to this. There's something going on here. We need to investigate. So what better way to continue to have dominion over the masses and manipulate the masses in such a way than to continue fooling the masses into believing that this is all there is, and that these are just a bunch of crazy people making stuff up, or like I've been accused, I'm just out here, you know, deceiving people to make money. What money? I don't make money doing this. I actually lose far more. I do this because, again, I genuinely want to see humanity free from this prison. This is a prison.
Yes.
Without a doubt, this is a prison planet. And as long as we continue to run these programs and trust the very forces that are enslaving us, we will agree and continue to consent to our own enslavement.
Ooh, that was a lot of powerful information there. A lot of powerful information. So I hope you guys are getting it out there. And just remember, if you want to call in to talk to Astro Boo Baby, just call right on in. The number is 607-203-5489. And remember to follow the prompts in order to speak with us. Getting back on to subject here, I know in that video you had given a difference between the Almighty God and gods.
Yeah.
Explain that to us, please.
Well, a lot of the chaos on the planet, like you had thousands of religions on the planet, and all of them think they have the one true God, okay? Yeah. The truth of the matter is that none of them, well, they're all right, and then they're all wrong. I'm going to tell you why they're all right and why they're all wrong. God is everything, okay? God is everything. We are gods. These interdimensional beings, yes, they are gods. They are just a different expression, and they are going about living and existing in a different way, but they are an aspect or reflection of God. So everything is God. So when they say God said this, there's a layer to that. That's true. If I were to tell them that, if they were to be open, if I were to tell someone anything from an interdimensional perspective who don't really understand the nature of reality, they would perceive me to be a god as well, which they are beings. When we go to the astral realm, which I had many times consciously, there are beings there because I do a lot of cleanup work there. There are beings there who think I'm God. You see, but or which I am again, because we all are. We are expressions or fragments of that God. But there is a force that is even above all of that. And so here we have people thinking that a God, when they use the word God, they're talking about someone who has the have great power and great potential and have co-created and built realities and created worlds with their own consciousness. That's what we do when we go to sleep at night. Those dream states, again, we are creating that. We are many gods creating worlds in our dream state. Many of us, like this reality we have here on this earth, we are all co-creating and holding this reality together. But again, there's an overarching intelligence that is beyond name. That is, when I say the Almighty Creator, that is the force that I'm talking about. This is a massive mind. It is intelligent. All of the universe, the omniverse, is intelligent. What has happened is that intelligence has split its awareness and is projecting itself and experiencing and co-creating from a subjective and objective point of view to infinity from infinite perspective. That's what the Almighty Creator is. But in each expression there is, or each creation there is, that is a manifestation of God. So you see how both are right, yet both are wrong.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I just want to pause right there just for a second. We have a caller with the 317 exchange. I do want to allow callers to give us some feedback. Are you open for that? Or do
sure.
You want to...
No problem.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, caller, you are on the air. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I thought that was interesting how you were talking about like these like different beings showing up as like gods and stuff like that. But it's kind of interesting how there have been people with just like, there was this one example, like I'm sure you've heard of it. There was like this one like guy in the military or whatever who like came to an island of natives, like who like had like, they didn't have that much technology, and like then they ended up like, they kind of ended up like worshiping him and all that. And even when he left, they started making like fake airfields and all that. And like and everything, like it's kind of interesting, like, you know, when the technology wasn't even that advanced and everything, they were still worshiping him. And, you know, it's kind of like a lower level thing with like these like higher beings, people worshiping them as gods and all that.
Absolutely.
I just thought it was kind of
even to the parts of what you said wasn't coming through, but I get the gist of what you're adding to the discussion. It's really what I'm saying as well. Like a lot of the gods of the past, of ancient times, these were really extraterrestrials. They were interdimensional. They were astral beings, depending on what culture or what where you went on the planet. Like Native Americans, they interacted with a lot of astral beings because they are highly spiritual people, and it was nothing for them to move into dimensionally. So again, even to this very day, if we were to go somewhere in rural Africa and visit a tribe who have no idea of what technology is, and we go over there with these cell phones and with the TV and with guns and all that, they will see us as gods, you know? So again, this is how the soup has really got interesting over thousands upon thousands of years with this whole concept of who and what God is. It really is, at the end of the day, different beings at different levels of development and awareness and consciousness interacting with a more evolved expression who had technology and they even had an organic ability such as psychic awareness. They could levitate, they can literally split their astral body from their physical body right before someone's eye. You know, different levels of awareness and advancement being presented to groups and individuals who don't have a true understanding or grasp as to how layered and how infinite reality truly is. So that's a very, very good point. It lends to where I was going when I was explaining all these gods that are existing and that all these people believing they have the one true God when none of them really do, you know?
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. And Yeah, it was kind of like in that movie Thor where it was like, oh, mankind used to accept the truth that we were not alone in the universe and everything, and people, like, worshiped the Asgardians as gods and everything when they were just an advanced race. It was kind of like that.
Yes.
That's like that'd be like a pretty good example.
It is, and thank you so much for adding that to the discussion.
Yeah.
Carl, I want to thank you for calling in. We're going to move on now. But we do certainly appreciate your call.
All right.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it. I'll hang up now.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Be around. I'll listen to the rest.
Okay.
All right. Some feedback we have gotten. I want to move on now. I know, Astro, you've been talking a lot about astral projection. And I just want you to clarify for the audience, what actually is astral projection?
Sure. Astral projection is an inherent ability that we all do to some degree or another. Unfortunately, most of us do not remember, and I know we're all doing it because I see you guys. And, you know, people are just kind of going through the astral realm just like zombies. And if you look at a lot of us, I used to go out and I used to just people watch. If you just watch people, you can see people existing, but they're not living. They're not really, they're just kind of almost like they're an android or a droid just existing, just walking about and existing. Well, the astral realm is the same way. So I see, ironically, some of these same people who would tell me this is ridiculous, they're on the astral realm as well, just going about with aimlessly, not thinking, and we'll wake up and have no memory of doing that. So as beings who have multidimensional awareness, multidimensional capabilities, when we go to sleep at night, we either create a conscious bubble. And the conscious bubble simply means that we project a ball, a sphere, some people call them orbs, and we project smoke or cloud-like energy into those bubbles, and we can project those bubbles to alternate realities, alternate worlds, and so on. But we can also build an astral body, which would be a smaller copy of our physical body, and project that into the astral realm, which is multi-layered, and when we're there, it's even more real if we were to consciously remember. It's even more real than this reality here. The only difference is we're not as bound by limitations. The only limitation we have on the astral realm is the level of energy that we've developed, the level of consciousness that we've developed, and what we are aware of. For instance, if we are only aware that we can levitate and exist in a linear way that we do here, even though we are capable of doing more, that will be all we will restrict ourselves to doing. So it really is a more fluid state of projecting either a conscious bubble or a copy of our physical body into these alternate realms that we call the astral realm. And again, it's very, very layered. You can get everything from the mental plane to the plane that is like a nirvana, a heavenly realm, a purgatory realm. You have realms that are very, very, very similar to Earth, and those realms are closest to Earth. And we all have this ability. We all do it. Unfortunately, most of us have not developed our consciousness and created an energy stream or awareness to retain the awareness of having these experiences. But that is a part of the goal. And that this is also one of the ways in which we can get rid of these middlemen through these organized religions. And this is another reason why there are forces here that do not want people such as myself making people aware of these things, because it will ultimately get rid of the middleman. We would not have to rely on someone else directing us or telling us how to express ourselves, how and why this is so. We can go to the astral realm and go to the Akashic realm and go to the Akashic library, where everything that has ever been done, past, present, and future, it's right there. It cannot be manipulated. We can get it straight from the Akashic Library, you know?
Yes.
So we have multi-dimensional capabilities, and astral projection is but one mode of expression, a powerful one, don't get me wrong, but it's but one mode of expression and way to which we can access those realms and knowledge and information that we may not get depending on the gatekeepers, those who are still controlling this reality.
Yes, yes. You also mentioned in your video, the video entitled, Is Astral Projection Dangerous? The Pros and Cons of Astral Projection.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the myths, pros and cons of astral projections, if you don't mind explaining?
Well, absolutely. Well, I must say the biggest myth of them all is astral projection is the work of the devil, or it's the work of dark evil forces. That still continues to be the biggest crutch, especially people who are running dogmatic religions do. Now, what I found is that when we speak about these things from a religious context, for instance, if I were to say, well, Jesus came to me and he took me to the astral realm, I found that people who are very dogmatic in their thought process can receive that more. But see, I'm not in the business of explaining things to people in a way, yes, I want to explain these things to people in a way where they would understand and relate to, but I'm not going to make up a story to make them receive it. I'm not about that. I'm going to explain it as simple as possible, but I'm going to explain it in a way that may make people uncomfortable, certain people uncomfortable. So I'm not going to necessarily speak from a religious perspective or angle when I talk about these things. I'm going to tell it the way I experienced it. But because I'm not doing it in a religious context or keeping the word Jesus in the forefront of it, people automatically color it with a dark and negative lens. And this is the biggest problem. And this is what keeps a lot of people focused on the negative. Now, there are potential negatives to this as well, and I've been up front and forward with that as well. I don't just pick and choose the feel good. I don't cherry pick. I do
right,
the pros and
right.
cons. So the pros is that, yes, astral projection could be used for negative reasons. Negative forces can manipulate the astral realm and manipulate people who are one with that energy, people who are already creating energy streams that are demonic and devilish in their own right. All these beings do is come and feed off of and exploit and take advantage of that situation. So I'm not even so much on this thing where I'm trying to blame these interdimensional beings for all of this stuff. No, the truth of the matter is that if we have negative influence going on with us on the astral realm, or if there are negative influence there, it is because we already have negative influence going on within our own creation, within our own sphere. Those beings are only magnifying and reflecting back to them what they are in alignment with. And, you know, you see what I'm saying? The people are reflecting that negative entity and that negative entity's reflection, and they are reflecting the reflection of that entity and their intent. So, but the opposite is true. The astral realm has very caring, loving beings there as well, helping to clean it up, trying to help people find their way, trying to wake people up. So if you are someone who is operating from a pure and loving intent, you will attract beings who reflect that and who will help you make that happen. So the pros is all in one who has pure, positive, loving, caring intention, and the cons are those who have negative, ill intent, malicious intention. And, of course, we can define that from dusk to dawn. I see we're already coming to the end of this session. But that in a roundabout way, if people would keep that in mind, they could better understand how these things can work in a pro and con fashion. And if, of course, you guys would like more details, I break it down in my video. I did a video about 4 years ago, the pros and cons of astral projection. or I've done many videos talking about it in different ways, just simply go to YouTube or Google Astral Woo Baby, pros and cons, astral projection, those keywords. Videos will come up where I speak more detail about all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're coming down to the final minutes. We have about 5 minutes and 41 seconds and counting. I have one caller on the line. Are you
okay
to take this last call? Caller, I would need you to be brief. I'm going to go ahead and put you on. Caller from the 443 area code. How are you? Caller, are you there? All right. I think. Hang on. All right. You're here, caller.
Oh, unfortunately, I just got in because my phone was not working properly, but I'm just so glad to be on the air to say hello to Astral Boo Baby. I've been following him for quite a while, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years. I just love his spirit and all that he has to share with us. He's given me a reading, a couple of readings a time or two, and I'm just grateful for his presence and for his ability to share all that he does with us. So
thank
I didn't
you
have
so
any
much.
Questions.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, caller, may I ask your name? I think I know who this is.
Oh, this is Kim Gregory on Facebook.
Yay, Kim.
Yeah, work in progress, Gregory.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Kim, so much for calling in.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry I didn't really have any questions or anything because he's pretty explicit on his, you know, on the videos. So.
That's all right. That's all right. We totally
love. That's all.
Oh, thank you. And I give love back to you. You guys know how big I am on spreading that love.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, you all have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
And you as well, Kim. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Astral Boo Baby. You know, we're going to have to come back because there's so much more that we have to cover. So I am excitedly awaiting a part two to this,
all right.
This
well,
segment.
I will gladly come back and give a part two.
Yes, yes. I definitely want to thank you for stopping by HMI Radio and hope that, you know, that date of the next segment to this is very, very soon. So just keep me informed when you're available, and I'll just book it all in.
Will do. And thank you again for having me, and thank you to everyone who tuned in. Thank you for your continued support. You are loved beyond measure. Continue to question, learn, and grow.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. For our audience, you can go on to www.hmiradio.info to check out Astro Boo Baby's video that we referenced today. Astro certainly inspired me to actually, I'm going to put a group together later and I'll reveal the details once that happened. But just having him here today and us connecting as we did has inspired me to do something more towards healing humanity. Also, if you're around on the Blog Talk, and even if you're not, on June 7th, check out Mind, Body, and Soul Food with host Tanya Parker. She will have her guest, Dr. Craig Wright, which is America's number one favorite numerologist. And he's also featured on WEAA Morgan State Radio every Friday morning. So make sure you stop by and get your yearly forecast with Mind, Body, and Soul Food on Blog Talk Radio, and that is from 6 to 7:30 p.m. HMI Radio and Mind, Body, and Soul Food have a lot of great events coming up, so make sure you keep checking the website for details, and I want to thank everyone for joining in and listening today. Our next show, June 21st at 6 p.m. with me and Minister Mason talking about Baltimore riots, what you need to know. So make sure you join us. Peace, namaste, ashe, and until the next time, chill and we'll see you on HMI Radio.